I'm sure that many of you are quite familiar with the Epiphany story. It's part of what we tell on Christmas Eve and in the days that come just after Christmas. It's that story of the wise men. We get it from Matthew, coming from various places around the ancient Near East, most particularly Persia, we think, in order to follow a star that they've seen in the heavens and then go, as they do, ultimately to Jerusalem, where they meet King Herod and begin to learn about the prophecies that are particularly associated with that star. And you'll know from having heard the story before that the Magi end up in Bethlehem, where they bring gifts for the one who they now understand has been called to become the king of the Jews. You will also know as part of that story that Herod, who is concerned about hearing that there would be another king, is hoping to kind of rope the wise men into helping him discover where that child, whom he perceives as a threat, will be located. And so he asks them to return to him or to send word that he might also come and worship, which of course is not his actual plan. What happens next is that the Magi, in a dream, recognize, are told by an angel not to return to Herod, and they return home by another way. And so the story of Epiphany, as we said a little while ago, is in some sense a story of journey, is in some sense a story of going out, the story of unfolding new chapters that come into our lives. What I'm going to read for you now is actually a little bit of a different story. It comes from Luke and is not typically told as part of the story of Christmas, although it might well be. We sometimes read it in Advent. It's the story of two older people who live on the grounds of the temple. It's the story of Simeon and Anna. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the hope of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he saw the coming Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, that day he came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon reached out and took the child up in his arms. And blessing God, he said, "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation of all the world, and for glory to all those who are gathered as thy people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many of God's people, and for a sign that is spoken against that hope. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts might be revealed." And in the temple at that time also there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she saw the baby and gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of God's people. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. One of the things that used to be kind of a bigger feature of the Christmas season than it seems to be now were Christmas letters. You guys remember Christmas letters? Sort of the, you know, everybody we know would kind of do one page, you know, kind of, you know, tell you about the course of the year. Some people wrote really, really good ones. They were great. You're really excited to get them. Some people, oh, they were terrible. Right? You remember? It seems like we don't do that anymore. Now I feel like what we get are a lot of pictures of the kids. Right? And, you know, I got to confess that when we get those, I look at them, and it's great to see people's kids and how everybody's doing and how everybody's growing. I really look at the background. I'm like, where'd they go? What'd they do? You know, like, especially right after COVID, you know, sort of people would be like, here we are in front of the Great Wall of China. And you'd be like, wow, good for you. Good for you. And, you know, so you try, it's amazing how you try, even when it's just the photographs, to try to make a little story about what the year has been when the story is not supplied. It's an interesting thing that Christmas letters have kind of seemed to decline as a habit. I think one of the reasons that they probably have is that finding things to say is hard. Right? Finding things to say is hard. I mean, the fact is, not all the changes in a year are things that you should share. Right? Not all of them. Some people do anyway. That's its own kind of train wreck Christmas letter, which I also will confess that I used to really enjoy, but again, rarer. It is also true that not all changes have their milestones kind of in a convenient 12-month span, right? There are things that percolate and take their own kind of time, and so it's hard in its way to put that into a letter, to put that in a kind of digestible form. And I think it speaks to something that's tricky for us. It's tricky for us because I think we're so accustomed to the idea of news, sharing one another's news, that we sometimes lose sight of how we tell our own stories. And stories and news are actually somewhat different. They operate on a different kind of time scheme, for one thing. Also, news tends to kind of be plot-driven, right? Stories don't necessarily turn into plots right away. Story, as E.M. Forster, the great novelist, used to say, a story, it goes, you know, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. The king died, the queen died. A plot, according to Forrester, is this idea that the king died and then the queen died of grief. What it is that happens for us when we come to find the plot within what we initially experience as a story, well, that's tricky. And that takes its own kind of time. It takes its own kind of searching, its own kind of wisdom to really shake out. But it is interesting, isn't it, how we try to tell the stories of our lives. And again, part of how we usually try to tell those is as plot, by marking all the changes. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was fat, but now I'm thin. I once was fun, but now I'm dad. Whoever it is we once were, the people we have become are how we know ourselves for who we are, however astonishing it may be for us to be that person now. Bearing that in mind, this week I've been puzzling over these things because Scripture isn't quite so sure about this idea of simply narrating changes. Luke, as you heard, tells us the story of Anna and Simeon, two older people who have each on their own kept close to the Jerusalem temple, hoping and praying and searching for this promised anointed one from God, whom they know for certain will arrive because God has said so. And so they're going to pray until that happens. You may remember from the Christmas story, as I was telling it a moment ago, that Herod, that, you know, sort of the evil king, meets the Magi and urges them to go search diligently for the child. His hope, of course, being that they will save him the trouble of going house to house in Bethlehem to capture this threat to his power. They don't listen. But Luke's larger point in mentioning it is clear. Herod is not so much searching as he is hunting. He's stalking. The searching, then, of Anna and Simeon is very different. Obviously, they, too, are eager to greet a new king, not to see the defeat of a rival. But more to the point, the search with them is not a journey out, as it has been for the Magi. The search for them is a form of staying put. They are waiting to receive the one whom God will send. And I think what Luke wants to tell us is that when it comes to the Messiah, some will go out in search and others are invited to wait. Some will follow God's call to become by leaving, by searching, by traveling. And others will follow God's call to become by abiding. And there is grace in both. The story of our lives is so often a story of how we've changed and how we hope we've grown amid those changes. But the more important story may be very different from the one we usually tell, or at least the way that we usually tell our story. The one that matters most, that story that matters most, may well be the one about how we've learned to sit tight, how we've managed to keep the faith, what it is we have determined remains true through all the things that change and all the things that don't. The most important thing about us may not be how our branches grow, but actually how our roots do, anchoring us ever more securely to what matters. Well, that's how Anna and Simeon saw it. As far as I'm concerned, it's also no accident that they're described as old, even elderly, and not you. If you've heard stories about the ancient world before, you know that 40 was considered old at that time. These are people who are in the upper reaches of age by any measure, and they would have been considered blessed indeed to have been granted health and vitality over that kind of span of years. Even for the most hale among us now, aging has its physical aches and pains, of course, and no small number of partings and heartaches. Surely none of us reaches the age of Anna or of Simeon without a dent or two in the fender. But aging can have its freedoms, too. At a certain point, there are some versions of human foolishness and ego that one no longer feels so obligated to grin and bear. There's a certain kind of space we get, I think, to call things as we see them. And instead of working on securing what's ours or getting more of it, there is the freedom of time and attention to do what matters most and to do it with more appreciation, maybe more kindness. It's a season of life when our roots can help us to stand tall, provided they go deep enough. For the best of us, what has been abiding all this time suddenly flowers. And there is a remarkably durable kind of beauty that comes to the fore, and the strongest kind of tenderness. Maybe one question for us then, as the new year comes, is whether you and I are on track to become that kind of person. Just how do we reckon where we are in terms of what matters most? Is it by what has changed in us? Or is it what abides that helps us to reflect? Anna and Simeon waited their whole lives for the fulfillment of God's ancient promise, yet to say it that way kind of misses a key point, because in that waiting, in that patience, they weren't depleted. They weren't starved. They weren't ground down. In their waiting, they were ennobled. They were fed. They were freed by it. And in that waiting, they were more able to imagine the world that God was bringing into being, able to live undistracted and undeterred by religion as Herod would have had them celebrate it. No matter how large it loomed around them in the temple, no matter how many gave in to desperation in their hope for some kind of alternative. And so Anna and Simeon remind us that in the deepest recesses of our hearts, whatever it is that we wait for is shaping our lives even now, nourishing us, we hope, offering streams of living water that come from God, or else branching out, but just below the surface. Maybe reaching this way or that way, searching for something that can never truly satisfy. A new year is here. Our hair, in its current condition, is unlikely to survive what is ahead. That's the least of it. The point is that rooted in God's love, the light of our eyes, the fire in our hearts will grow brighter. And that's something to reach for. That's something to hope for. With all the ways in which chance and change come into our lives, what are the things, not just that happen, but that truly, truly speak to who we are and that for which we stand? This is a time to hold on to those things, knowing that as we come to see them clearly, all that patient becoming will transform us into people whose lives truly shine. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, even if we don't go very far afield at all. Amen.